Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we're still virtual. We're not back in our home in Renaissance Bank, but folks, if you need a better experience for your business, small, medium, or large, if you're not getting the personal attention you think you ought to get as a business owner, check out the folks at Renaissance Bank. Now, the branches are not open, but just for walk-in, but you can make an appointment and go in and see them and check them out. If you're in the North Fulton area, give me a shoot me a note, give me a call, and I can recommend somebody for you to talk to. But otherwise, go to renaissancebank.com. You can find over 200 offices across the South of folks ready, willing, and able to help you. And folks that once you sign on with them, they'll actually answer their own phone, believe it or not. It's that kind of place. It's a great bank. And check them out there. And for your nearest office, your nearest branch, and you'll be glad you did. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome Carrie Matthews. And Carrie is founder, president of Opal Partners Group. Carrie, welcome.
Thanks for having me, John. It's good to see you.
Yeah, it's great to have you. And it's great to have you back because you were with us way too long ago, and we had to rectify that problem, right, and get you back on because you've got some great info to share for folks. Why don't you give, for those that don't know you, tell them a little bit about you and Opal Partners Group and how you're serving the market out there.
Absolutely, John. Well, again, my name's Carrie Matthews, and leader of the Opal Partners Group, OPG for short. And my background has been in IT and telecom professional services for most of my career. I started off with large companies and then pivoted to smaller companies around 1999 or 2000 and found out I really had a passion for small businesses. Led operations in different aspects of those companies. And about 3 or 4 years ago, decided I really wanted to take my career in a new direction and help small businesses solve their operational problems. And that's exactly what Opal Partners does. We offer fractional or virtual COO services to those types of businesses.
Okay, so you're going to have to define this for me. COO, now that's chief operating officer, right?
Yes, sir.
And we've got, and fractional. So for those that don't know that term, you and I use that term all the time, but for those that don't know that term, define what that means.
Sure. A fractional COO is simply an executive that helps their client firms on a day-to-day operational administrative task, usually on a part-time or an interim basis. So you have companies that need operations expertise at the executive level, but they may not need somebody full-time, may not be able to afford somebody full-time. And this is a way for them to get those types of services to help them out in a very customized way so they can manage the speed of change and manage the cost that they're spending. I've heard customers call it COO as a service. Everything is as a service now, and I kind of like that.
Yeah.
And what we do is we help guide businesses until they reach a point where they either grow enough they need to hire someone full-time, or someone in the office has stepped up and grown and is ready to take the reins as the operational lead.
And you're not there, Carrie, to replace anybody per se. And I mean, for example, let's say an office manager that may be perfectly capable of doing a lot of different things, but you mentioned one word there that I thought was key, and that's customized. I mean, you're there to customize a particular projects maybe that office manager doesn't have the expertise for, or maybe is too overwhelmed with what they already have on his or her plate.
That is absolutely the case, John. Usually we come in as an adjunct. There may be a specific project that needs to get started and spun up quickly. It needs executive oversight, and the CEO or vice presidents or the office manager, the general manager, simply don't have the bandwidth to take that on while they're doing their other day-to-day, taking care of those responsibilities. In addition, sometimes they need a fresh set of eyes. You've heard the phrase, it's lonely at the top. Sometimes CEOs of small businesses really don't have someone else they can use as a sounding board to talk about the troubles in their businesses. They need somebody to walk hand in hand with them through a particular part of time in the life of the business, whether they're experiencing growth or some challenges or a pandemic. You just never know what may come. And so we step in usually as an add-on to a company to give them some expertise for a period of time. It may be project-based. It may be more of a long-term advisory relationship, but we don't replace anyone. We add to their current bench.
What are the, we talked about this very generally in terms of projects you may take on. Let's get specific about the types of problems that you and your team help your clients with.
You know, it's funny. One of the most common reasons that people will initially talk to me and my team is about accountability. They'll say, we need more accountability. And that usually means it's time to ask some questions. Dig into that, see what they really mean. Accountability, that's not a singular topic. There's a lot of things there. Sometimes it means the owner, and a lot of times the owner is very much a visionary. They're very relationship oriented, and they just aren't comfortable holding people accountable. It may be that they are part of the challenge. Sometimes it means that there's a lack of clarity in the organization. Everyone's in there doing what they think is their job, but they may not be absolutely clear on what needs to be done, how success is going to be measured, what is important, and where the company is headed, and how what they're doing relates to the goals of the company. So when I hear accountability, usually we come in and we create clarity first, whether that's defining goals, resetting the strategy, improving the communication, but we level set. And then we can start driving accountability by the creation of the correct key performance indicators, making sure that the desired values and behaviors are understood and lived up to, understanding the customer expectations. So that's the type of thing that we'll come in and do. There may be other challenges that people ask for quite a bit, which is helping to develop and document processes, process improvements so people can be more efficient. Sometimes they need help guiding the team through strategic planning or looking for waste and inefficiencies, or sometimes just doing an assessment of their operations team and their organizational structure.
This may be a more of a I think I mean this more as a qualitative question. You know, what kind of companies hire fractional executives like a COO? Is there a certain mindset? I mean, I would imagine that, I guess what I'm getting at is companies that are comfortable with outsourcing, right? I mean, that's one of the characteristics. Are there others that you see that companies, the kind of mindset and characteristics that they might have?
Absolutely. Usually I find that the companies are growth oriented. They've realized that they're either growing quickly and they can't keep up, because as you grow, you have to adapt and change. Kind of what got you here won't get you to where you want to go. You have to, as your business matures, you have to make changes. Another characteristic is a leadership team that knows they don't have all the answers and they're comfortable enough asking for help. when they need it in strategic areas. And that's what I really enjoy doing. When you find a client that wants to grow and they know that they can improve in certain areas and they can't do it all on their own, that is an ideal client. I mean, they're open, they're willing, and they're receptive to it. We've talked about the CEO and the visionary role and how they, a lot of times in the small business, they're taking care of managing the day-to-day operations as well as trying to cast vision and build relationships to further the company. And when an executive realizes that managing the day-to-day is not their highest and best use, and that they're going to be more effective by delegating that to someone else, that frees them up to really lead the company. And then we take care of the day-to-day. So we get to the point where the company learns how to manage itself without the visionary being bogged down with things that he really isn't best suited for. And it's not his best use.
Sure. Folks, we're here chatting with Kerry Matthews, and Kerry is with Opal Partners Group. Kerry, there are differences in industries. I would imagine there are a lot of operational overlaps, though, to different industries. Talk about that trade-off and how industry differences impact how you help clients.
You know, that was one of the big concerns. It's one of the big questions that we have from people when they say, what is a fractional COO? What do you do and how do you do that? Is probably the most common question. And I think part of that goes back to the idea of operations. I think a lot of people think of process and they think of things like manufacturing or producing widgets. I take a much broader view of operations. I believe operations is the collective set of activities that you must do to run your business. And the goal of your operations is to extract value from every resource that you employ, whether that's a tool, a process, your financial capital, your people, whatever it is. So we're trying to help people maximize what they do most effectively to get return on their investment. And what I found in talking with my peers when I was a COO and vice president in different companies, members of CEO peer groups, what I found is that most businesses, especially small and mid-sized businesses, have the same problems. They're universal. Handling growth, adapting to change, working within financial constraints. And these issues start manifesting themselves with people issues and process issues, things like that. So I'm equipped from having been in all these different industries and seeing different things to come in and help address these in a way that the clients may not have ever seen themselves. Now, there are times where I think it's incumbent to bring in somebody else. If a client has a very specific manufacturing question, or they have a question that we need to address about tax strategy, that's not what I do. So I will help them find talented CFO or an accountant or somebody who specializes in manufacturing optimization and bring those in so we can take care of their needs. And that's what Opal Partners does. We're there to help guide our clients to make them successful. And sometimes having relationships with other service providers in other areas is one of the things that we just need to do to the client for in their best interest. And I'm happy to do that for them every time.
Yeah, you're a solutions guy. I mean, wherever those solutions come, that's what you're there to help clients with for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I want to get to the elephant in the room in just a minute, which is a pandemic, right? But I'm just curious in general, some of the most common questions, maybe challenges that your clients bring to you generally before we get to the pandemic.
Well, sure. We've already talked about the accountability and how that's a very common question. But there are other things that come up when clients are preparing for an acquisition, whether they want to be acquired and they're trying to make sure they have all their ducks in a row. Everything is documented. Everything's buttoned down. Their expenses are clean and they're running lean. So the business becomes more valuable. That's a great opportunity for someone from an operations mindset to come help them look at those things. You mentioned the pandemic, and people are having wildly varying needs right now in terms of their staffing. We've seen some clients growing through this period of time. We've seen people have to contemplate making tough decisions about their staffing levels. So understanding when and how to reduce headcount, looking forward, building a forecast model based on your sales and your operational backlog, doing an assessment of the organizational structure, those types of things are really important, as well as sometimes people just want somebody to run a project for them. They need something done. They need it done quickly, and they can't get it done themselves. They need somebody to come in and take the reins and run with it, and we'll help them do that. Mm.
Good words and good work here from Kerry Matthews at Opal Partners Group. So, okay, I put it off long enough. Let's talk about the pandemic. I feel like a broken record asking this same question to a lot of different folks like you, but you know, from your perspective as an operations expert and authority, you know, how has the pandemic changed how companies operate generally?
I think you're right that there's going to be some changes that are based upon the industry. Manufacturing, there's only so much stuff you can, you know, do in a unique way. But I think the most obvious, especially for professional services type B2B firms, has been the rapid and in some cases forced acceleration of work from home arrangements. Mm. I have friends in the IT industry, and the amount of spend for acquiring new equipment, putting new infrastructure in place to very rapidly allow people to work from home and still maintain some level of connectedness and the ability to collaborate was probably the biggest change that people had to and companies had to go through within the past 2 or 3 months. Now they're starting to figure out, what do we do? Okay, we made that change. In some cases, it's probably very positive. You know, if they're able to reduce their costs, maintain their effectiveness, people are happy. You know, they may want to keep some aspects of the work from home, even as we return back to more normal work arrangements. But you have to consider other things as well. I mean, how is office space going to be used? Do you need to reconfigure it to be more open collaborative spaces for people to come to if they're working from home? Or do you need less space overall? Mm. You also have things like what products and services aren't effective anymore? What's changed in the business? Are there certain products that don't have the same return on the investment? They're not as profitable as others. Maybe now's time to do sort of a spring cleaning and to really examine what you offer. Get rid of the ones that are not adding to the bottom line in the way that you would like, and then look at your core strengths and figure out what new products and services you can add that really leverage what you do uniquely well. And then again, you know, related to the work from home, there's a real challenge for managers learning how to manage a remote distributive workforce. I mean, it's not a skill set that we all grew up with. There's a lot of technology to enable that, but you have to be very intentional. And that's a place that managers have to learn how to grow and adapt right now.
Yeah, and that right now is really the key word there, because nobody got any warning on any of this, right? I mean, people are having to learn on the fly or you know, learn how to fly the plane as it takes off, as the old saying goes, for sure. Right.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things I tell people is you never know what's going to happen. I mean, let's rewind in time, John, about 4 or 5 years ago. who had on their radar a pandemic that shut down on most industries, or who envisioned an interstate catching on fire and people couldn't get to their place of business?
You're referring to the bridge in Midtown Atlanta that went out.
I-85. Yeah.
Right.
On fire.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and you can't plan for that. You can't, you know, expect that.
Mm-hmm.
But what businesses can do is have contingency plans in place.
Mm.
And that's to sit down and think about what would happen if we had a natural disaster, if we had protests, if we had fires, we had strikes in other industries that supply us with goods and services. Those are all potential sources of disruption. And I'm a firm believer in having some type of plans in place so that when those happen, you pull those plans out and you know what you need to do and who's responsible for doing them, rather than you getting a phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning saying a tornado just ripped through your building.
Mm.
And you've got to figure out, what do we tell the people to do tomorrow? Who do we need to contact? What's our insurance adjuster's name? Who's the landlord? How are we going to stop the mail? How do we deposit checks that come in? Think through that before it happens and have a contingency plan in place. You're not going to cover every scenario, but you're going to be better off having thought through it beforehand. As grim a analogy it is, it's like having a will. Nobody wants to think about those types of things, but you need to.
You know what? You said something there that makes me think of another similar metaphor, and that is what you're talking about is something like an insurance premium that people pay for liability. They pay for disasters and other risk related events. What you're talking about is, you might call it operations insurance, right? I mean, having that backup plan, that contingency plan, is really in an operations insurance premium you're paying that is important.
Absolutely. You're going to have there's going to be some impact to your business, but the quicker you can get things up and running so you can maintain some level of service, the better off you are. And I think investing that time and energy and effort up front will pay for itself when you're not panicking, when you are acting rather than reacting.
So, Kerry, this great conversation. I want to make sure we get to the types of clients that you work with. What are good fits for you, particularly for folks that are listening to this program and think, I may need to give Kerry a call. What are some of the kinds of businesses that are great fits?
Sure. My experience, looking back over my career, has primarily been in B2B professional services firms. Now, that said, we've helped clients in all sorts of industries, again, because a lot of the challenges are universal. But if I had to draw a circle around the groups that really are a sweet spot for us, they're growing. They have maybe 10 to 100 employees. They're experiencing some challenges from their growth or lack thereof. Another very common client for us are companies that have adopted EOS, the Entrepreneur Operating System. Mm-hmm. Very common right now, very big. And they have a role called the integrator that reports to the visionary. That's like the CEO and the COO. And sometimes companies that are going through EOS realize they're missing that fraction, that integrator role. And we can step in as a fractional integrator and help them continue their EOS journey as well. So that's always a great type of company for us.
Folks, we're here with Kerry Matthews, and he's with Opal Partners Group. Kerry, it's time for you to brag. I know you've got some great work you've done over the years. If there's one that stands out, that success story that you're particularly proud of that you're able to share with us, would love to hear that.
Sure. There's one that always jumps to my mind when I think about that. I had a client that I had an existing relationship with and knew their operations fairly well. I'll never forget it. The date was September 18th.
Mm.
And I get a phone call from the CEO saying, "Hey, you got a minute?" I said, "Sure." And they had won a new project from a Fortune 100 company, one of their biggest customers, where they'd be providing a set of services for them. It included handling equipment, offering help desk. They just won it. The Fortune 100 company had piloted it with another company, but they were actually awarded it to my client. And he said, we need to get this up and running. I say, I'll help you. He said, we have to do it by October 1st.
Oh, wow. So September 18th to August, to October 1st.
Yeah, 12. That's 12 calendar days. And well, what do you need? Well, we have the contract and we know the basics, but that's it. So we had to jump in, roll up our sleeves, learn that contract, understand the scope of what services we were providing, figure out how to staff it, how to find the right tools. We needed software. We needed the ability to text clients. We needed to set up some email notifications. We had to deal with shipping devices all across the United States. We had to hire the staff, then develop and document the MNPs by October 1st. Mm. And I went to an Atlanta Braves game within about four or five days after that. And the customer called and said, oh, we need to move that up to September 27th.
Oh, my.
So we said, okay. And we found out a way. We took our first order September 27th and successfully processed it. So we were able to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do we like rushing through a project that quickly? No. But when you have to do it, you have to do it. And the nice thing is that developed into a long-term relationship. We spent some time after we did the immediate process of getting it up and running. Then we began optimizing it. How can we automate and make it more efficient, make it more sustainable? We went from having no employees in September 18th to right now there are about 8 people running this one process, bringing in significant revenue at very, very profitably to the business. And I helped get that team up and running, hired a new manager to take it over, brought some local companies in to help with some automation. And that was a long-term engagement that happened from a very quick need that the customer had no one else to take care of.
Mm-hmm. You're describing a company that's kind of like the dog that caught the car, right? I mean, that they really, and this is, seriously, I mean, this is, makes sense in a lot of ways because, small to medium sized businesses that are after big enterprise clients, they can't just sit around and staff to be able to have, the wherewithal ready to deliver on a big order like that day one. But they need suddenly, I guess the, A team, like as you, that you represent to come in and help get them up to speed and ready when that order comes.
You're exactly right. People can't afford to have people sitting around on the bench, and sometimes you need help. And, that's what Opal Partners does. Mm. You know, another thing that you mentioned the pandemic earlier, I think companies have become more tuned in to the advantages of some remote work. And I encourage companies to look at what can be done remotely. And you've greatly expanded your pool of potential candidates when you do need to staff or if you're looking for advisors. If you're not limited by geography, there are a lot of great people right now who are looking for jobs, and you may be able to grab the expertise you need. Mm. May not be in your area, but if you have that work from home, that remote work dialed in, you can really find some good people right now.
Kerry, this has been great. And I know that there's some folks out there that could benefit from having a conversation with you. So we need to let them know how they can do that. So why don't you give them some contact information? What's the best way to connect with you?
Sure. They can certainly go to my website, which is opalpg.com. That stands for opalpartnersgroup.com. There's a contact us form right there. You can also find me on LinkedIn, Kerry Matthews, and you can reach out to me via phone. That phone number is 678-845-6141.
Kerry Matthews, Opal Partners Group. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks a lot, John.
Folks, if you have got some help that or need some help that involves some administrative task, maybe you need some bookkeeping caught up to speed, maybe you need a workshop planned and prepared for, or a presentation for that workshop. Well, I've got an answer for you, and it involves picking up the phone and calling Essie Escobedo. And she's at 770-442-9246. Now, I use Essie myself for some of the tasks I need. And she's at Office Angels, and she's got a team of angels that she goes and picks out the one that's best for you and your problem. And they fly in, get the job done, and fly out. And the nice thing about everything with them is they do it virtually. And they've been doing it for 18 years, so they're used to a pandemic environment. Speaking of planning ahead, they must be, Essie and Carrie must be talking here, because they've been, Carrie helps folks plan ahead, and Essie has been doing that for sure. So give her a call or go to officeangels.us to find out more. And I think you'll be glad you made that call if you need that kind of help. And folks, here's just another little quick reminder. We are on all the major podcast apps and platforms. That would include Apple and Google and Stitcher and Spotify, and I could go on and on, but I won't. You could go to NorthFultonBusinessRadio.com and find our entire archive of shows going up to, we're going on 260 or something like that. But we would love it if you would go to your favorite podcast app, follow us, and give us a good rating, but a good review, because that helps folks find the show. Folks that need the services of great professionals like Carrie, and so that would be helpful to all our guests. So if you would do that, we would really appreciate it. And we're also on social media. North Fulton BRX is our handle on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. So for my guest, Carrie Matthews, I'm John Ray. Join me next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.